Yes, you hear laughter in the background. This is Rick Kogan. The show is After Hours. And we got a full house here. I'll introduce them all later, but I have to introduce the main guest of this next segment. My old friend Kevin Horan, we were colleagues at the Sun-Times. He, a photographer, me, a writer. And he went on. He left the Sun-Times and became a very, very successful freelance writer and the last gasp, I think, of the golden age of magazines. Do what?
Photographer, you said writer.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Did you ever write anything?
Oh, yeah.
But he has a script here, but we're not going to get into that. I'm saying that's so ridiculous. Yes, he's a photographer, one of the greatest photographers I've ever known, and I've known a lot of them. Chris Walker, Chuck Osgood, great Henry Hare Gill.
Thank you, Rick.
Fred Stein, who is sitting in here with us. In the old days of newspapers, there was a real wonderful collaborative nature between photographers and writers who'd go on stories together, and it was great. I hadn't heard from Kevin Horan in some time until he called and said, Rick, I've moved to a place near Seattle, like an island, and I've got a book. And I said, well, what is the book, Kevin? And he said, well, it's called Goats and Sheep, A Portrait Farm. He sent it to me, and I have, as you know, Kevin, been beyond wildly intrigued. It is a beautiful, beautiful book that it at the same time sort of is arresting and haunting to me. It is shots of portraits of goats and sheep. You tried first. You started to meet these guys when you went to Whidbey Island.
We moved there, and I had these new neighbors. And by the way, I'm really curious tonight because you're proposing to do a radio interview about pictures.
Yes.
And I want to see
not the first time I've done it. I've had visual artists in here. I've had Tony Fitzpatrick in here. It works.
I believe you.
Watch your sales jump. So you went, you and your wife, Nancy, and we'll talk about Nancy and her career in a while, went out to sort of, it's near Seattle Airport. You could still kind of continue being a international freelance photographer, but you wanted to, your kids were grown, your two boys were grown, one of them sitting here with his fiance, and you said, let's get out of the rat race and go someplace that's really beautiful. And this place, I've just looked online. That's the only advantage I see of anything online these days is you can look at pictures of other places. It looks beautiful.
It is. And we bought this cute little house on a country lane, just a short walk from downtown, this little town of 1,000. But across the street were about a dozen sheep. Not a real working farm kind of sheep. Just a guy who liked sheep around. And he must have fed them at the gate right across from where I parked my car, because every time I went out to get in the car, they would rush to the fence and start talking to me, probably because they're hungry.
Yeah.
But they had all these voices, you know.
And they were distinctive. They were all...
Yeah, it's like...
And all these... And you, as a visual guy, started to look at them. You know, look, I go to farm in the zoo. I have not been around sheep much in my life at all. So I think of them all as looking the same. It is, in goats and sheep, they are all unique.
Exactly. They really are. And, of course, there are different breeds and varieties and all of that. But just based on those voices, I started to... It made me stop and say, wait a minute, that guy is different from that guy. And people who spend time around any kind of animals will tell you, oh, sure, they've got personalities.
Could you tell it first? Because I've sort of fallen in love with some of the more attractive female sheep in here, and they are all named. Could you immediately tell a male from a female sheep?
Oh, God, no.
Can you must be able to now because you name them in the book.
Well, hell no. I know for a guy who's publishing a book about goats and sheep, I know frightfully little about goats and sheep. It's a little bit embarrassing, but because there are real enthusiasts out there.
Oh, sure.
So my approach is this visual one, and it's sort of about how we react to faces and how we create people out of pictures.
And your initial thought was to sort of get your camera, hop over the fence, say to the goat, stop there, like, exactly. Look this way, as if they were a know, professional model or something.
Yeah, I talked to the owner and said, I got this idea. I kind of want to make these formal studio portraits. And he said, oh, yeah, knock yourself out. That sounds great. You know, day one, leg goes over the fence, and they scatter like minnows, you know. And I thought,
How were you able to do this? I mean, it is obviously... you told me you spent a couple, and there is, ladies and gentlemen, for those 400,000 of you who still get a print Chicago Tribune on Sundays, a nice piece in there, not enough pictures, but a nice piece about Kevin and the book written by me. You had to have some kind of help getting these characters to, are posing for you, are they not?
In a way, yeah. We can get into the actual process, but to get started, those sheep across the street from me, there's not one of them in here. They are complete washouts.
Yeah, their contracts were too high.
Yeah, they were uncooperative. But I kept looking around, and I found this gal who was trying to start a goat cheese dairy just a couple miles up the road, and... I approached her, put this question to her. I thought she'd say, you're crazy. And she said, oh, that sounds fun. Come on over. And went over. And her goats go into the milking stall twice a day. She handles them. They walk indoors, outdoors. She had a shed where we could work. So it was perfect. And so some of those are in the book.
You built a kind of studio in
Correct.
There, right?
So I need a building. I'm not going to build a whole building. I want to keep the sun off it and the rain off it. But I bring in what is the studio. The original idea was, a goat walks into a portrait studio. This is what happens. And they want to take it home and put it on the wall. But practically, that's not how it went. The studio goes to them. So it's a backdrop. It's half a dozen light stands with strobes.
So a couple hours of setup.
Yeah.
And then you would have each goat for roughly 10, 15 minutes. So it varied.
It varied a lot. It could be 20 seconds and, Charleston is not down with the project.
Yeah.
You know, he's out of here. But others... they were very cool about it, and if it worked or didn't work, we would let them do it for a little while and then leave and come back.
Some of them seem, and this may be my lack of knowledge of sheep and goats, but some of them actually seem to be posing for the camera. You see, and you also seem to have gotten many of them focusing on the camera. I mean, they seem to be looking at the camera. Am I being the idiot photo?
You're not being the idiot, but you are being a little bit misdirected by me.
Okay.
That they're not, they look like they're posing because I wanted these formal portraits. But can you tell a goat just to pose, look to the right, look to the left? Some of them acted like they knew what to do.
Did they really?
Yeah, it was kind of funny. Yeah. But in general, it's a matter of waiting for them to do something that is what I was looking for. And often I didn't know exactly what I was looking for until it happened.
How many goats and how many sheep are in this book? I did not frankly count them.
Oh, that is what a great question. I think it's about 49 total.
Yeah.
And I think six of them are sheep. The rest are goats.
Do you find goat faces more interesting?
You know, I do. And it took me a while. One of the pictures from that very first day, I think four pictures from that very first day are in the book because it worked so well. And one of them is a sheep, Lizzie, and she's gorgeous, and people love her. But in general, I got distracted by goats because they are really kind of, they're life of the party animals, you know. And the sheep takes a little more discernment to see some intelligence in there behind those eyes.
One thing that again impresses me from a, you know, this city locked nature boy that I would like to be is the different looks. I mean, I don't know if these are all different breeds or if they're different.
Are.
And there's so many. They look like completely different animals.
Yeah, and, you know, goats and sheep are everywhere on the planet and have been with us for thousands of years. So there are all these different breeds that have developed. And this could be, you know, those first pictures that worked were 10 years ago.
Wow.
It's kind of weird for me to think of that. I could spend another 10 years on this easily. It could go worldwide. I mean, there is a lot of variety there.
Yeah. It's a magnificent book.
Thank you.
Also, it contains some writing by photographer Kevin Arend and a really amazing essay by a woman named Elena Passarella.
Oh, isn't she wild?
That takes you back. It begins 65 million years ago, ladies and gentlemen. And she does in about four pages, brings us right up to today. We got to take a short break. We'll be back with Kevin. You can go to his website, which is easy, kevinharan.com. I'm talking on air, off air, all the time with my friend, my old friend, Kevin Harran, who now lives on an island near Seattle in the Northwest, and whose book, Goats and Sheep, A Portrait Farm, is one of the most striking, compelling, artful, and in its way, thought-provoking books that I have ever encountered. I mean, I would have had Kevin on the show if they were if they look like, you know, cartoon drawings of sheep and goats. But they are. I'm haunted by these, and I've got to think, Kevin Harran, that when you were shooting these and taking these portraits, the goats and sheep somehow didn't just get under your skin, but they got into your head. I mean, I'm not talking about directly anthropomorphizing animals, but you have to toss some human qualities onto them, I would think.
Absolutely. You know, maybe the first notion was, oh, this would be kind of funny.
Yeah.
But very quickly, you start looking at them, and you see, you're looking into those eyes, and you're thinking, wait a minute here, there's something going on in there. I may not understand it.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be what's going on in our heads, but it's a real thing. And there's been a lot of work about this, both scientifically and in a literary way, about what is in the heads of animals, animal
sure.
consciousness. There's a guy, Charles Foster, who wrote this book, and he lived like a badger for a number of weeks, you know, lived in a burrow and ate grub worms. And it's all this work in figuring out what's inside that head with using those senses.
This talented writer Elena Passarello addresses that in her opening essay, which is not a long it's not a long essay at all, but it is very incisive and again very thought-provoking, where she kind of makes a connection or argues that there is a connection that is as ancient can be.
Oh, yes. She starts her essay, and this thing is a mind blower, with the first mammals, by which she means, well, both humans and sheep and goats came from that creature. And she spends a day with those guys on a branch after the dinosaurs begin to fade. And, as you said, brings it all the way up to the future.
You've been doing this, Kevin Harran, for a decade now. It had to have changed the way in which you look at... You're a city kid, and I think maybe when the family was living in Oak Park, maybe you had a dog or two, but that doesn't make you a nature boy. This must have, and living where you live, changed your perspective about the world in which you live.
It did. It wasn't done from an activist animal rights point of view at all.
Yeah, I mean, as you said 2 seconds ago, you thought it'd be fun.
Yeah, exactly. But you get into trying to figure out what's going on with those guys, and it actually makes you think about, just as the portraits are very similar to the human portraiture I did for years and years, it makes you think about looking at all creatures with this sort of empathy and trying to understand the world as someone else sees it. And, I mean, you can extrapolate that to our political world.
Absolutely.
It's really about opening yourself. I had someone write me out of the blue and said, oh, well, I see what you're doing. It's not so much you're making them human, but you're drawing something out about ourselves. I thought she was so insightful.
Yeah.
That it's the way we appreciate all the other creatures that are around us. Two-legged or four-legged.
Or should. Yeah.
Yeah, the way we can.
Yeah, the way we...
And what you said about kind of being haunted by the pictures is exactly what I was going for, because I want the viewer to be in the place where they're a little bit unsettled. They don't really know what's going on with this picture. Am I just seeing, like, a trick? Or am I anthropomorphized? Yeah. Or am I seeing some actual life spirit behind that creature?
See, one of the other things about it, and you know, because I've written about you and this book and gone through this book maybe a dozen times or more, I have found myself being drawn to particular goats and or sheep more so than other goats or sheep, because I think, well, this one, like Sweet Pea, you look like you could be a friend of mine, and you actually look kind of like a friend of mine, which is, I guess, one of the things you're getting at. And this Emmy sheep with horns and
she's a sweetheart.
Sort of dark fur, and how attached did you become? I mean, was it a kind of shoot and shoot and goodbye kind of thing?
I'm sorry to say, I have not continued any deep friendships.
Well, I wouldn't be that sorry. I think that's probably very good. What about with the people? The people,
they gave me so much. You know, they really put themselves out. You asked about Emmy. I met her at the Island County Fair. I went over there, and I thought, well, I haven't... The county fairgrounds is a half mile. I can walk to it from my house. And I thought, I've never really explored this possibility. I go over there, and I'm looking around the goat barn, and I see this family. You know, it's these three girls and a boy, school age. They're getting their goats ready to show. And I thought, who do I talk to here? And their dad is helping them, this really nice guy, George Johnson. And I put... again, the same proposal to him. This is what I want to do. He says, gee, that sounds great. I'm like, what? What is wrong with you, man? But yeah, I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
I'll take that answer. And I came back the next day, set up all the stuff just outside the goat barn. And this guy, I mean, he was on his hands and knees trying to get these goats into the way I light it, there's one little sweet spot where they have to be. And he was working with me. And he usually had to be behind the goat, you know, at the...
When you began to share your feelings with the owners of these animals, those must have been some intense conversations. I mean, they must have at some point said, God, you get it.
They really love their animals, you know, and they're just... I think they put all that work into it for me, some guy they were not really getting anything out of, because they love those animals and they're flattered by this very special attention.
And you gave them all prints.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very nice. Where are the prints? Are they on the wall? Are they framed on the wall?
I hope so.
Yeah. Kevin Horan is going to be here after the news, too, for a few more minutes. But he will be Tuesday night at Volumes Bookstore on Lincoln Avenue. I hear it's... Milwaukee Avenue, sorry. And it's going to be crowded, but get in there. You'll also be Wednesday.
In East Troy, Wisconsin, at Inklink Books. They have a dinner book talk.
Wow.
And in both cases, I'll be with, it's in conversation with the novelist Jane Hamilton.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Well, Jane Hamilton, if you don't know her, you certainly should. The reception for the book's been, just what I can tell online and in whatever idiotic fashion I am privy to, is something of a sensation. I mean, people are loving this book, I guess, because it's one of the few goats and sheep portrait farm books that they've ever seen.
I guess so.
Yeah.
It does seem to connect with people.
Yeah. Got to be very, very gratifying. Okay, we got to take a commercial break, then we'll get some news, and we'll carry on with Kevin Horan. Welcome back. I have a few more minutes with Kevin Horan. We've been talking about his book, Goats and Sheep, A Portrait Farm, which is a gathering of portraits of a lot of sheep and goats, and a brilliant essay by a woman named Elena Passarella, and a very nice piece, too, by Kevin himself about what he, sort of explaining the process of getting into this on Whidbey Island, where he lives with his wife, Nancy, who is a noted, a wonderful person, but also a noted and incredibly gifted novelist, first of the best-selling novel Loving Frank, which took her a while to write, didn't it?
It did.
So, Nancy, if you're listening, I miss you and I adore you. And there's a new book out, too, relatively new, right?
Well, since then, yes, Under the Wide and Starry Sky.
Which is about well, this is great. She writes about an architect, Frank Lloyd Wright. Then it's about Robert Louis Stevenson. And then she will do the great novel of the newspaper man, Rick Kogan.
I'm almost sure of it.
These scandalous love affairs of Rick Kogan. You're also in here with your son, who I probably met when he was a tiny little boy.
Probably so.
Harry, who in print is Harrison, his lovely fiancée, Holly. They're getting married in 27 days. And Fred Stein, another great photographer. If you used to get the Land's End catalog, you saw the work of Fred Stein, which was, we both great friends with Gary Comer, who started that thing. Now that this book is finished, Kevin, and you're holding it in your hands, and you'll be with Jane Hamilton Tuesday at Volumes Bookstore on Milwaukee Avenue, and in East Troy at another bookstore I don't know, but looks nice online, looks nice, with Jane Hamilton. What's next? I mean, you obviously, this book obviously changed your life in some, I think, profound creative way.
Yes. After years and years of media work, working for newspapers and magazines, it was really great to, this was my own assignment, and I could go into it in all the depth and length that I cared to. And it really did change me in that way and introduce me to the art world. And so that's what I'm doing now. And I have a couple of other projects in the works, whereas this one is black and white and very crisp and planned out. The next one I'm working on is pretty much the opposite in every way, color and really amorphous and hard to see what's in the pictures. And
well, you can see, and maybe you can get a hint of it on your, I love your website. I think your website is great. His website is kevinhoran.com. I guess you can order the book on your website, or you're not that.
No, we're just.
See, you and I are such.
Would that be
former,
a good idea?
Because we're former newspaper guys, we're such internet idiots. It's like, well, some people.
Oh, you can do that?
You can buy anything on my website, blah blah blah, but you can buy it anywhere books are sold. I would prefer you to go to a bookstore, those things called bookstores, and get Goats and Sheep.
But
you can do it, you can also do it online. When you see on Whidbey Island, when you see yes, you do, a goat or a sheep, do you ever say to yourself, wow, I got to shoot that. That's a great face. It's like, you're like Fellini, who used to put into his movies people with great faces.
Well, yeah. I do kind of drive by and say, boy, I keep meaning to stop in that farm, but I got to stop it. I just have to stop.
Kevin, you seem very, very happy, and I am very, very happy for you. Fred, it's great to see you. Holly, it's good to meet you. And Harry, congratulations on the wedding, and congratulations on this book.
Thank you so much.
Everybody, people would stop at my desk at work, and the cover, who's this cover girl?
Oh, that's Bella.
Bella. And would just start, this is my private desk, and they would just start plowing through it and go, what is this? It is.
It's kind of worn. You might need a new copy.
I can buy one. No, this is the way it came. This is the way it came in the mail all the way from the far northwest. Kevin, congratulations.
Thank you so much.